Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome into Players Only, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan. Here's the bad boy from Bayonne.
Chiefs do such a great job of pre-snap movement, shifts, and motions to declare what the defense is doing.
Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danon Hughes.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? We're back in the building. I am Danon Hughes, your host of Players Only. We come each and every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Actually, there's going to be a few weeks because of the holiday. Got Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas on Wednesday, New Year's on Wednesday as well, that I won't be on the air. But for now, you got me. 6 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays, we come to you and recap this Chiefs game, talk about the upcoming Chiefs game. We got this hot fire, spit fire takes. Remember, the text line and phone lines are open, 913-586-7695. Well, let's get right to it. This Chiefs team got their first loss this past weekend. It was a tough loss. As many of you know, I am part of the broadcast, the radio broadcast with Mitch Holtis, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel, myself, and we travel with the team. We are in the locker rooms right after the game. We are on the plane going and coming from the game, so we get to see, we get the pulse of everything that's happening. It was a tough, tough loss against a tough team, and if you remember last week, I was on these airwaves talking about how tough this game was going to be. I don't think I'll ever be, I shouldn't say ever, I don't think there'll be a time with Patrick Mahomes as our quarterback where I will ever feel like we are going to lose a game. But I can tell you that I knew it was going to be a tough game. We not only do the Bills play us tough during the regular season, going back into that cauldron, going back into the scene of the crime that ended their season, the Bills fans are rabid. They are very similar to Chiefs fans. Small market, the only game in town roughly besides hockey. And they rally around their team, and their team rallies around them as well. And to think that it would be a game that we would go in and win decisively, I just don't think that we have the makeup, nor do they have the makeup that would warrant either team being decisive against each other. We expect to see them again later in the season and in the postseason. Hopefully it's here at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. But wherever it is, I think you're going to see another epic game. There were some mistakes made on both sides. There were some plays that were not made. There were some opportunities that were not taken. But in the end, no excuses, officiating, illegal picks, all these different things. I'm not going to sit here and blame officials when I don't partake in the people that blame officials when we win. I'm not going to muddle it down to one or two plays that could have changed the game. There were multiple plays on the field that we could have made offensively and defensively that might have put us in a better position to win, but that's every single game. Like the NFL, with the parity that is, with the level of competition, especially when you're playing top teams after winning two straight Super Bowls, so you're going to have the most difficult schedule based on the previous season, which is a whole nother story, because I hate when people throw out the arguments of the Chiefs have an easy schedule, they haven't played to the level of other teams. One, you can only play who you're scheduled. And two, as a Super Bowl winner, you are automatically getting the most difficult schedule you can possibly get. The only caveat is that every year, each division plays a different division. So this year, we are playing the NFC South. Now, that's non-negotiable. Like, we have no control over that. But have the NFL decided, you know what, we're just going to randomly select teams to play each other, and it's not going to go by division, then you would conventionally believe that the Chiefs would be in a position where they would play all the tough teams because they just won the Super Bowl, not once, but twice. So we're playing the most difficult schedule possible. And going on the road to Buffalo was a difficult game. And I'm not jumping off the ship, and I would hate to believe that in the Chiefs' kingdom, with the resume that this Chiefs team has had, that there's anybody out there that would jump off the ship just because we lost one game by 9 points with an opportunity on 4th and 2. Had they kicked the field goal or had we stopped them, that we would have an opportunity on the road like we've become accustomed to doing, going down and scoring the winning touchdown. That's how close this game was outside of Josh Allen and that epic run, which I do believe that's an MVP type of run. That's an MVP type of play. When you go back, depending on how this season unfolds, we also know that Josh Allen can start throwing the ball to the other team very quickly and pull himself out of MVP contention. We've seen that happen as well. But if everything stays status quo, we might look back on that specific play based on who he's playing against and the duel against Patrick Mahomes and say that was the defining moment, like they do in college, where that's the Heisman moment. Travis Hunter, whoever. At the NFL level, that could be the defining moment that catapults him above Lamar Jackson and above Jared Goff and, heck, above Saquon Barkley in that MVP discussion. Remember, the text line and phone lines are open, 913-586-7695. But it was a tough loss, and it was a loss. And although it would have been great to go undefeated, I feel like the structure of undefeated and the mindset of coaches, it doesn't lend itself to going undefeated. And this could be a hot fire, spitfire take that I could have saved for the next segment, but I'm just going to spit it out now. I don't know if any team, outside of saying that you want to win every single game and preparing to win every single week, I don't think any organization would cast upon themselves to go undefeated. Part of the reason is because of the injury factor. You want to get to a point, whether you're a number one seed or you've secured at least one home game and you are one of the other seeds in the playoffs, you just want to get to the point where you can rest guys in week 17 and or 18. Like, I think that's the main goal for most teams in the NFL. So if I can do that without having the pressure of having to win one of those last two games to get into the playoffs or to get a home game in the playoffs from a monetary standpoint and from an advantage standpoint to play on your home field, you feel like you'll have the edge. Other than that, I don't think that any organization would sign themselves up to be 16-0, have already secured a playoff spot, likely already secured a number one seed and a bye, and then having the pressures of making decisions on whether to go for putting all your stars on the field to win week 17, then putting all your stars back on the field to winning week 18 in hopes to keep the undefeated streak going and then having the momentum needed to be in the playoffs. Like, I don't know if anybody would, like, if they could win with the number twos, if we can win with Carson Wentz, and that would be great, but in a situation where we didn't have to necessarily win, I feel like there would be much more relaxed people within the organization. So having said that, there's a reason why you know, who was it? Larry Zonka. Larry Zonka was drinking champagne. There's a reason why it's been since 1972, since there's been a team that's been undefeated. Won the Super Bowl. The Patriots did it, but they didn't win the Super Bowl. But other than that, there's a reason why they're still popping champagne down in South Florida. Because the game is passed beyond that being the goal. I'd venture to believe that when those guys were running towards a Super Bowl, their goal was to go undefeated and continue to win. They didn't think about injuries back in the 70s and 80s. They didn't think about that back in the 90s when I played. Like, you just played the games, you put all your guys out on the field. If everybody was healthy, they went out and played, and that was the dynamic. So, again, it's another loss. It's an AFC loss. It's a loss against a team that we expect to be at the top of their division. So it's different than had we won against the Bills and lost this upcoming week against the Panthers, or lost the week 2 weeks previous against the Buccaneers. It is definitely a different kind of loss. But for me, not that there's moral victories, there are acceptable losses and opportunities to learn from those losses. And I feel like that's what we got in this game. I got a chance in the post game, as I've mentioned in the past, I go down to the locker room from the booth. I get to interview two guys. This week I picked one from offense, one from defense. Well, let's hear from Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy was pretty short interview, so we're going to get to it real quick and see what he had to say about it after the game. Here with Xavier Worthy. Xavier, tough loss, the first of the year. What are the immediate takeaways from this game for you?
Nothing. We'll see him in the playoffs.
And, playoffs are a long ways away. I know what's been cool about this team is the consistency in whether it's week one, week two, week three. It's always about that week, taking away the good, the bad, and then moving it on to next week. When you come from that perspective, yeah, it's a difficult loss. But outside of that, you knew you were facing a tough Bills team in a hostile environment. What's your thoughts as far as where you guys can build and go from this week?
We just got to take what's given to us, and we just got to play better as a team. That's really all it is.
All right. And final question, man. Obviously, the undefeated season is behind you. I know that's not the goal. It's definitely a goal each and every week to win the games, but the goal is to get to the promised land in New Orleans at the end of the season. But this has to be a tough taste to come away, come to this hostile environment and allow the Bills to escape with the win.
Man, it's football. It is what it is. Take it to the chin next week.
Yeah, so you can see he was a man of not many words. One thing I would hate, and Julio, I'm just gonna make myself. I hate the dynamic, and I remember listening to the games when Len Dawson was broadcasting, and then Kendall Gammon, a good friend of mine, and then myself. And I always thought, man, hopefully I don't play into this, but the tone of the interviewer and the interviewee when you lose versus when you win. Like, I hate hearing, first of all, I don't like hearing myself on the airwaves anyway. I feel like my voice is different. I got an East Coast accent sometimes. Sometimes I've been in the Midwest for, 35 years now. And so the East Coast comes and goes, so I don't really like to hear my voice. But I don't like when I feel like I'm speaking lower because it's like a bad time. Like, because we lost, I got to speak like this and hey, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sorry about the loss. What do you think? And then when I'm interviewing for the other 9 weeks, when we win games, hey, I'm talking to blah, 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 blah. I hate that dynamic, but it's the nature of the beast. So I have to do that. But there's definitely opportunities for Xavier Worthy, a man of, you know, not many words in that interview. And that's going to be a part of it. I remember actually doing public speaking when I was playing with the Chiefs in my first couple of years in the league. And I think we were at Grandview High School or we were somewhere else. And I was doing a charity event and I lost my train of thought and I froze and stopped talking and then started stuttering. And I barely made it through it. And I handed the mic. And I remember walking off of that court. Gym was packed. And I remember walking off that court. And I said, that's never going to happen to me again. And I'm going to learn how to speak in public. I'm going to learn how to relay my message and relay my thoughts and keep it at a normal tone, Don't be too high. Don't be too low. And I think that's going to be something that Xavier is going to learn. Just like, you know, what he does on the field, off the field, there's going to be learning opportunities. So I'm not going to kill him for having short words and so on and so forth. Some guys, they speak a lot when we win. They don't speak a lot when we lose. That's the nature of the beast. But then there's other guys like Justin Reed and other guys that come to mind, Trent McDuffie, the offensive lineman, that will speak the same amount, have the same kind of content, whether you win or lose. And that's just a behavior that grows. Speaking of my other interview, Drew Tranquil is a guy that I would put in that list that gives you enough meat, whether you're winning or losing. He's a guy that I've always felt comfortable in going to. Let's hear from Drew.
Here with Drew Tranquil, obviously a tough, tough loss. Drew, what's your thoughts on this game?
I thought they had a good plan. I thought they out-executed us, their offense versus our defense. We got to get off the field there on a few third downs, and then we got to take the ball away from them. We only forced one turnover. I think they had two, and I think that was the difference in the game.
When you look at this, I know throughout this season, each week, obviously you're getting the best bullets from everybody, but you guys always seem to stay consistent where it's week one, week two, week three, et cetera. Is this just week 11, or is there more to this than that?
We're definitely getting teams best week in and week out. We didn't play our best football today. I think we know that. It was a good environment. It was a good game. Felt like a playoff game. And hats off to them. They out-executed us and got the win today.
And what do you take away from this game and in preparation for next week? Obviously, you got to move on. Maybe it's the midnight rule like we used to have back in the day. But what are the takeaways from this game that immediately come to your mind?
Well, to win a championship, there's going to be highs and lows in a given season. There's highs and lows each and every day. And so it'll be a good lesson for our team. We're a resilient group of guys. And so I expect us to be ready to play next week.
I love that final answer from Drew right there. That sums up everything about how your mindset should be as a professional in losing a game. Learn from your mistakes, build on them, be resilient, and then lean on what you need to do the next week. All right, when we come back, we got the hot fire, spit fire takes. I see the text lines are open. They're active. 913-586-7695. Hit us up.
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
This is a great job by Xavier Worthy. Extends to the pylon, hits the ball on top of the pylon, loses it after that, but it's a touchdown nonetheless. But the rookie coming through in the clutch. All right, welcome back, Players Only. I am Dana Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter /X at DAHughesGuy83. I'm also on Instagram at Danan Hughes. We got the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7695. I see you, Dan. We're going to get to you in the third segment, as always. But text in if you got any hot fire, spit fire takes. Go ahead and text them in. We'll be taking them. But let's go to the hottest segment on radio, the hot fire, spit fire take.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot.
Because I spit hot fire.
Woo! I'll call me super hot boy. 100 degrees leather jacket. Because I'm super hot boy.
All right, we got the hot fire spit fire take. It is a take that can go across the landscape of any sport, any situation. Just got to come strong. Julio is the ultimate judge. Julio with the Tulio back in the booth. He has been swayed. There's been times where he's been unfair in my world, in my thoughts. And then there's times he's dead on. Most of the time when he's dead on, it's a positive spin for me. I'm going to just say that. But I got two of them. I know we ran a little long in the first segment, so I'm just going to spit my two in a row because there are two that are kind of close to my heart in regards to one's more serious than the other. I'm going to start with the Giants, the New York football Giants, and their quarterback situation. For those of you that are not aware, they are a dismal team, a terrible football team that chose to go and stay with their quarterback, Daniel Jones, and pay him a boatload of money as opposed to re-signing their most popular player that they actually said it was, and who is now in the running for MVP and definitely for Offensive Player of the Year, Saquon Barkley. But now they have come to a circumstance where, because of how dismal their season is, they are going to make a quarterback change. Now, they had Daniel Jones, starting quarterback, paid him a lot of money. Signed Drew Locke away from the Seattle Seahawks last year and got him this year. And then they had Tommy Cutlets behind him. Those are the three quarterbacks. For most teams, because of your roster limits on game day, the third quarterback is basically inactive. He's only available if a quarterback goes down. They made that change mainly because of the quarterback situation with Brock Purdy in the playoffs, where he got hurt. I think it was Trey Lance that got hurt, and now you had a situation where you had no quarterback basically to finish the game in a playoff situation. So they opened the door for you to now have those three quarterbacks if you opted to have three quarterbacks. Well, we all know the depth chart is the depth chart. It's supposed to be the depth chart. And Drew Locke, our local hero from Lee's Summit, was the number two quarterback. Well, the Giants have made a business decision to skip over Drew Locke and allow Tommy Cutlets, New Jersey kid, he's started for them in the past, but obviously they did not feel like he was worthy enough to be the number two quarterback. Otherwise, they would not have gone and gotten Drew. And then he had to still earn his position to get to a number two and stay there, which he did up until this point. Well, they're going to opt to go with Tommy Cutlets, mainly because it's a business decision, because of bonuses and money that they would be due to give Drew Locke if he starts, if he plays well, if he has certain completions, if he gets a number of starts, all of those different incentives that could boost up his salary this season. Here's the problem I have with it. The main problem is I've been in that locker room. I've heard the coaches talk. You guys have heard me say coaches are the best brainwashers in the world. They can make you believe you can do anything. If a coach told me to run through a brick wall, I wouldn't say anything, but which shoulder do you want me to use, the right one or the left? That's the mindset of a player based on really good, influential coaches. All year long, all you were saying in the locker room was that it's about winning, it's about putting the best foot forward, about putting your best players on the field, playing for your brothers. We're going to put you in a position of success. We're not going to do anything for any detriment. We want the best for you. You're like kids. You're like our sons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of that is what you hear. And even if the season is going and spiraling in a different way, you're truly believing that your coaches, your GMs, and everybody else believes what they said and said what they believed. Then you are moved into a position that in week 12, you decide we're going to go against that and not play the next best player. I feel for Drew from an emotional standpoint, from I've known him since he was 5 years old and his family. Incredible, incredible family. I feel for him in that circumstance, but it just tells you, one, how great we have it here in Kansas City, and two, how bad it is elsewhere. And when you have guys that hold out, when you have guys that question situations of re-signing somewhere, et cetera, or they want out of a place like Devontae Adams from the Vegas Raiders and move to the Jets, there's also underlying situations that propel that. There's reasons to propel that, and this is a prime situation that players should get what they need to get when they need to get it, and stick to their belief in themselves, because organizations will make decisions that are contrary to all the words that they share throughout the season, and that's why it also is a component on why they are losing. Yeah. I think that deserved it. Shout out to my man Drew. Andy and Laura, love that family. Definitely unfair. Life's not fair. Obviously, there's a lesson to be learned, but it's just unfortunate to see. My second one, Julio, to any of the idiots out there that take advantage, one, may cheer for the Chiefs, maybe football fans, maybe just decent human beings, or may not be decent human beings in general, that opt to take advantage of families and houses while guys are out of town, don't be an idiot. Don't be a degenerate like that. How bad is it that guys have to worry when they go on the road that their homes are going to be safe, that their families are going to be safe just because they are on the road and everybody in the world knows that they are away from the house? This not just an NFL thing. I'm sure it's been something that has been issues on college campuses when KU football, KU basketball is on the road, and guys have to worry about their dorm rooms, their apartments, their cars, etc. Don't be that type of degenerate. I know I'm preaching to the choir, and maybe most of the listeners here would never even think of that, but there are some people out there, maybe some people we know. Like, I'll be real. I grew up in Jersey, North Jersey, 5 minutes from New York City. I know several degenerates. I know guys from every walk of the world, black, white, Hispanic, whomever. A lot of great people, but I know some degenerates, and I know some people that are involved in some, have been involved in some crazy stuff throughout my life. Don't be those people. And if you know those people, be an influence in those people's lives, a positive influence. Call them out on the carpet, even if they're your friends, maybe your families. Because who wants to think about traveling and then having to wonder if their house is going to be broken? It's another component as well when people criticize athletes. They should have a lot more money. He's got enough money to do this. He's got enough money to do that. Well, just keep adding on what guys would have to spend their money on in certain situations. Now, guys have to spend their money on security for their house while they're gone, security for their house when they're here, security for them when they go around town. Like, when does it stop? And then when is there going to be some compassion that's going to be put on the shoulders of athletes and their circumstances, as opposed to just washing it away and saying, oh, that's what they get paid for. They make enough money, blah, blah, blah. That's ridiculous. You know the people out there. Maybe you don't, but you have some people that know some people are connected, or you've seen it on the Ring camera, or you are hesitant to call the authorities. Be better. Be better in those circumstances so guys like Patrick Mahomes, our heroes here in Kansas City, don't have to worry about their houses being looted or their family being harmed because they happen to be on the road hoping to get another win and move towards a Super Bowl. All right, got me heated in here, man. I'm glad halftime's here. Dan, we see you on the line. We'll get to you after halftime when we come back. We got the phone lines, text lines open. We'll start tackling those.
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs line up in a diamond to the left side of Mahomes. Third down and goal to go at the two. Chiefs down six. He looks at the diamond. Now he throws a yard deep into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Noah Gray peeled out of the diamond. And the Chiefs find diamonds in the diamond mine for a two-yard touchdown on third down and goal to go at the two.
All right, we are back. Halftime is over. It's Players Only. I am Dana Hughes. Follow me on Twitter /X at DAHughesGuy83. And on Instagram at Danan Hughes. We got the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7695. We appreciate everyone waiting patiently. We got Dan from KCK. Dan, faithful on the lines each and every week. What's good?
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Yeah, it's a tough loss, but the Chiefs will bounce back. Just got to, protect Mahomes better with Lonnie Morris. And anyway, it was a good effort, you know. And then we came a little bit short. Let's take care of the Panthers. Take care of yourself, Dan. I just like, I got through ringing from the Salvation Army at Walmart on the Legends. Take care, Dan.
I appreciate you. Thanks for the shout-out, being out there with the Salvation Army. A lot of great causes out there during this part of the year. Good to hear you, Dan, supporting out there at the Salvation Army. We've done a lot of great work with the Chiefs ambassadors, with the PAL, raising over six figures for them. I grew up in the PAL in New Jersey, so it was something that was close to my heart. And hopefully people are able to rummage through their clothing, other items, and support great causes around town. They had the blood drive today at Arrowhead Stadium. I gave some blood. I know Keith Cash was there, Bill Moss, Larry Marshall. Who else? Oh, there were several Chiefs. Gary Stills was there as well. So a lot of guys supporting great causes out there. We appreciate you. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon, what's good?
Hey, man. Wow, in the last 10 minutes, you have covered a bunch of stuff. But I did have a question about wanted to get, again, players' perspective. A buddy of mine kind of mentioned that he thinks that the Chiefs are holding stuff back in the playbook, specifically for the playoffs. So the Bills didn't necessarily receive our best, you know, shot. They didn't receive the full arsenal because we're not playing for the undefeated season. I'm kind of curious what you think about that, if there's a lot of stuff that might be held back and we are just prepping for the postseason because we know we're that good. And then also the other thing that I wanted to mention, Drew Locke, absolutely. That was a ridiculous situation. I'm a KU fan. He went to MU, but I like him, and I think that he needs to leave New York after that debacle. And then one other thing, your voice is great on the radio, man. I don't think you should second guess that, bro. It's good. No ditty on that, bro. And all listen off air. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Brandon, thank you, man. I'll try to be my Barry White. Sure, you're right. But that don't work on radio either. But I appreciate those comments. Man, I will say this in regards to your first question. There's never been a time I've been in the locker room where I've ever felt the game plan was doctored down or dialed down for a particular opponent. I will say this. In formulating game plans, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just pie out of sky, picking random plays, etc. You are trying to take advantage of tendencies. If you listen to my show, you listen to the broadcast, the pregame show, you hear me talk about the tendencies, percentages. 62% between the 40s is the other team plays man-to-man and they blitz. 22% of the time from the 40 going in, they play man-to-man. 80% or 60% they play zone, blah, blah, blah. Like third and short, third and medium, third and long, first and 10. All of those scenarios are exactly what you absorb all week long as a player. The game plan is predicated on that. Now, there may be offshoots of the game plan where we know or we feel like if Xavier Worthy runs from this bunch formation, he runs a post or he runs a corner, this is going to work against them, but it may work against them based on what we see on film, but we don't necessarily, because we know it definitely will work against the Raiders in 2 weeks. So we may not want to put that on film for them to prepare for. It might go to that depth, to be honest, because of the parity in the league. Because of the fact that you're only playing 17 games as opposed to MLB and NBA and NHL, like you don't really conserve things because you're going to go for the wins. And so I would be one of those guys that would say that would be bogus in regards to the Chiefs holding on to something in their back pocket because they knew they were going to lose a game at some point and they didn't want to show their full hand. I don't believe that. I think you go for wins where you can, but you also recognize, although you may see 10 different things you can expose on one team, you don't know when you'll be able to utilize those circumstances and which one's the best one. Like, if you got a two-point conversion, the Chiefs probably have 6 two-point conversion plays. They may think that 3 of those would work against the Bills had they had to go for 2 points at the end of a game to win. Then it's about which one of those 3 did they pick. Doesn't mean that all 6 would be bad. It could be that 3 of them that could work against the Bills, the other 3 could work against the Raiders or the Panthers based on what they've already scouted those other teams as well. So I would be, to answer your question, I would be totally against the mindset that the Chiefs hold back anything. They're going for wins and there's no kind of mindset that I believe that said, hey, we're going to lose a game at some point. Let's hold everything in our close to our chest and kind of give this weight game away. All right. Big T, what's good?
Man, hey, thanks for taking my call. Dan and Julio, keep up the great work, man. We love all the takes and everything you're talking about. Keep it up. Yeah, you know, I look at it this way. It would have been nice to go undefeated. Big whoop. We didn't. It's the we're eye on the playoffs, and you know, Buffalo. Every dog has their day. They won. They were the better team. Okay, but historically, when you look at this, they usually beat us during the regular season, and historically, they can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Buffalo, you can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Big whoop, you won during the regular season, blah, 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 blah. Then you hear people start whining. I don't want to hear anybody talking nothing. Matter of fact, I think it's going to come down and be the Steelers and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. A lot of games still need to be played yet to settle that. We'll find out. But Buffalo, you can't beat us in the playoffs. If it is you can't beat us. Noah Gray, Hey, great job. Worthy, keep up the great work, young man. And you know what? We've been spoiled as Chiefs fans. As spoiled as ass Chiefs fans whining. And they won 15 in a row up until Sunday. So enjoy it. No organization could say that. We're going to start another winning streak come Sunday. They're going to take it out on the Panthers. And as always, let's go Chiefs.
Choo-choo! Appreciate you, Big T, bringing it strong as you do each week. I love the support, man. We got the regulars that come through, and then each and every week it seems like we get one other guy that pops in, whether it's via text or on the phone. I saw Timothy was out there and then hung up, so sorry we didn't get to you, brother. Hopefully you'll call in next week. We got the phone lines. I said the text lines. Yes, he said, from 816. Did he say no Diddy? Yes, he did, which is hilarious. All right. From the 660, will the Dolphins make the playoffs? Right now, the Dolphins are out at 4-6, but with Tua back, who knows? How about the AFC West being pretty much the strongest division in the NFL right now? You can make the argument, obviously, as some people would say, the AFC North and then the NFC North, possibly. Okay, we can entertain those, but when you got three teams in a division on target to make the playoffs, while the AFC North only has two, and the NFC North, where are they at? NFC North has three pretty strong ones, 7-3, 8-2, 9-1. So there's an argument there, but I think going into the season, I don't think many people would have thought that the AFC West would be even in the conversation, but that just tells you about where we stand in our division, the power in our division. What was the Chiefs' win-loss from the 913? What was the Chiefs' win-loss at this time last year? Going into this last game, last year, the Chiefs were 7-2. Obviously, we were 9-0. And after this past week, they were 7-3. We lost to the Eagles last year in this week, and we went to 7-3. So there was definitely a difference. And between the 7-2 mark and getting to Christmas Day, it was kind of hot and cold for the Chiefs because we wind up finishing the season 11-6 and then going on this epic run without being defeated until this past week. All right. Somebody said Mahomes can't. How do we get to the hot and cold of Mahomes can't hit an open receiver for his life? Like, I just don't agree. I don't know if this came from Stevie Wonder or somebody else they can't see, but Patrick Mahomes is still one of the greatest, if not the greatest. I say he's the greatest quarterback in the league for what he's been able to do. It was cool, Julio, that clip, and this was not rehearsed, the clip that you came back with from break was actually a clip that I broke down on KSHB. We talk about all that I'm involved with. One other aspect is each and every week on Channel 41 KSHB, I do a Danan's Data and a Big Play Danan segment. So you can listen, you can watch those on social media. You can watch them on YouTube. I post them on social media as well. But you can also watch them when it's live on KSHB on Fridays and Saturdays before the game. And I break down that touchdown to Noah Gray and why it was successful. Just tells you about how minuscule the window is for success versus failure of any particular play because of the speed of the game. All right, we're going to tackle some more text when we come back. We got the fourth quarter coming up. We got to talk about this Carolina Panthers preview. We'll get to it next.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, final segment of the show. It's Players Only. Again, I'm Danan Hughes, and we'll be back next week. Oh, actually, next week will be Thanksgiving, so I will not be here. But I will be thinking of y'all, and I will be pounding a very large plate of food. Shout out to the wifey, Tiffany. She does an outstanding job. We host about 25 people, all of my family, kids, their spouses, grandkids, nieces, nephews, nieces, etc., in-laws, all that. So shout out to the wifey who's already shopping and preparing to cook for next week. Babe, if you need me to cook, sorry, I haven't done it this far. Not going to happen. I know my role, just like I did when I was with the Chiefs. But a shout out to you, babe. All right, what we got is the Carolina Panthers coming up this Sunday afternoon. It's one of those games where we are the better football team. And I go back to the things that were preached to me when I was a player and Marty Schottenheimer was at the head of our team and our organization. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat and win the games at home. And you'll have opportunities in the postseason. Now, we have better or higher goals. We've attained higher goals than just getting to the postseason. But this is definitely a winnable game. But I will say this. You play a team once every 4 years. There's some good and some not so good. If you go back to Patrick Mahomes, he had played against this Carolina Panthers team. We played them at home, and we won 33-31. I think we had to lean on a 60-yard field goal attempt for us to squeak by with a win back in 2020. But Mahomes had 375 yards passing, 4 touchdowns on the afternoon, and Travis Kelce had 10 catches for 159. So if that's going to be the product, you would hope that it still would not come down to a 2 or 3 point game. I see on the text messages that we got, one of the text messages said that Mahomes is going to connect with Worthy for 2 long touchdowns early on the first 2 drives. Worthy will finish with 120 yards. Chiefs win by 14. I hope that's a great prognostication from the 913. That would be great to have that kind of cushion and have that kind of early success and production from Xavier Worthy. I do feel like we are in an offense with him where we should take at least one shot downfield with him or maybe even one of the other receivers once a quarter. So if it happens to be him in this game, they got some solid corners with Mike Jackson and J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn is the son of Joe Horn, who was a wide receiver in the NFL, one of my teammates back in the 90s. So you want him to play well, just not against our Chiefs. Joe would know that. He would respect that as well. I think this is a winnable game. Obviously, the Carolina Panthers are not the team that they expected. There's a lot of turmoil, but they have played decently during this season. At times, they're standing at 3-7. For people that are out there thinking that it should be a blowout because we're better, that just doesn't happen. And Bryce Young, you know, he's playing better than he did last year and earlier this year. They're going to put him in situation to be successful, or at least attempt to be successful. They had a bye week last week, so now they've had an opportunity to prepare for our Chiefs for 2 weeks. We always talk about, at least over the last couple of years, we've talked about we're going to get everybody's best. We're going to get the best bullets from everybody. We are their Super Bowl. I don't believe that there's any better example. And the epitome of being somebody else's Super Bowl is this game. From a team that hasn't had success since Cam Newton was quarterback, and they went 15-1, I believe, and got to the Super Bowl and got beat up by the Broncos. They haven't had sustained success pretty much since then. The Chiefs coming to Carolina, a team that they'd only play once every 4 years, and they hadn't played there the last time they played. Patrick Mahomes has not been there as a quarterback, a starting quarterback, and they have not had the success. We've won. We've played them, 7 times. We've beaten them 5 out of 7 times going back to when they first came in the league when I was there here with the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is, on all accounts, the biggest game that they will have on their home field. It's not when they play Atlanta. It's not when they play their NFC South opponents. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming to Carolina, and everybody is waiting for the opportunity, the one opportunity possibly in a generation where you would see the best quarterback play. So we're going to get their best. They have some playmakers. Offense, they're going to have Adam Thielen back. Like I said, Bryce Young, Chuba Hubbard has been really good as of late. Offensively, and then defensively, I mentioned you got Josie Jewell coming over there from the Broncos, middle linebacker playing strong, Woods leading them in safety and their tackles, and then J.C. Horn and Mike Jackson. They got some 3-4 defense, so they got some big guys up front, but we just got to do what we do. I feel like if I really got to the heart and soul of the coaches and really transparent, they will tell you it's more about us than them. And I'd say I believe that that's the case every single week. It's more about them than us. So I feel like this is an opportunity for us to get back on the right path. All the people that are out there that expect it to be a blowout, I'm hoping that's the case, but I'm not expecting it. When you get the best fight from somebody, who knows? As long as it's a win, then I'm all for it. So with that being said, appreciate all y'all listening in, tuning in, supporting the show, supporting me. For Julio, I am Danon Hughes. I'm wishing y'all a happy, blessed, and safe Thanksgiving next week. And we'll be back in 2 weeks, hopefully talking about two Chiefs wins. Peace.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
You're listening to Players Only with Danon Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.